Welcome to Life Skills for Kids, Superstar Practical Strategies, your go-to podcast for surviving and thriving with your children. I'm your host, Deb Hopper, and as a parent and an occupational therapist, I understand the reality of getting through each day with the kids. Join me as we delve into tips, tricks, and strategies that you can use today. Hi, and welcome to the Live Skills for Kids podcast. I'm your host, Deb Hopper, and today we have the beautiful Stacey McBride-Wilson with us today. Welcome, Stacey.
Hi, Deb. So excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
No worries. And I am so looking forward to the gold and the gems that you are going to share today. But before we dive in, can you just give us a bit of an introduction to yourself, your family, and also what you are very passionate about helping parents with?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I am a wife and a mum. I have a beautiful daughter who's 15. So I've been doing the mum journey for a little while now. And we also have an incredibly beautiful and gorgeous puppy that we're all very passionate about. And I never was a crazy dog lady. And then I got a dog and I didn't realize how much you could love an animal. So, you know, the three, you know, of us and then our dog, we live a very happy and contented life up on the Sunshine Coast in a beautiful Queensland. And I used to be a school teacher, but have transitioned out of that industry. And I'm now a fitness instructor and also a happiness and well-being coach for mums. And I'm just so passionate about seeing mums happy, fulfilled, thriving in their own selves so that they can bring all of that goodness to their families.
Absolutely. And you know, I talk about a concept in a couple of podcasts and in my Anxious to Calm parent membership where I talk about the concept of parenting with open hands. And basically it sounds similar to what you're talking about, you know, being grounded as a parent, you know, having your cup towards the top so that you can then give out to your family and to your work. So is that kind of fit, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. You can't pour from an empty cup. And that's probably a phrase that a lot of your listeners have heard, but it is so incredibly true. You know, we cannot pour out, we cannot give out from what we don't have ourselves. So we need to really be looking after ourselves as parents so that we can deal with the demands of being a parent. You know, it is full on at times, and I know that. And I've only had one child, let alone having two or three or even more. So being able to be at your best so that you can be fully present and able to give your children the best and satisfy their needs is so crucial.
Absolutely. Now, before we get into, you know, the importance of self-care and what we can actually do, what are your thoughts on what are the biggest things that are draining? What things, you know, empty our cup from day to day?
Oh, so many, right? There's so many. I think that's the challenge with, you know, actually trying to fill our cup because we have so many demands on us. And especially, I guess my specialty is working with women, and women in this 21st century, there are so many demands on us. It's no longer just being a wife and running a home. It's also, you know, volunteering in a capacity, whether at kids' schools or in other organizations, as well as often working a full-time job. So there's a lot of demands on us that take from us. There's a lot of emotional needs, whether that's from our kids or from our workplaces. You know, we also have all these technologies that we're engaged with that can just take our energy as well. So we're constantly switched on. There's constantly demands on our attention, on our energy. And so those things just really draw from us. So it's being really conscious of those things. And like we're going to talk about, being able to refill so that we can be at our very best.
Okay. So I guess, is it important for us to reflect on what things are the most draining for us?
Yeah, I would say so, because we're all different, right? We're all unique. We all have different personalities. So I know for myself, I am an introvert, a true introvert, because people drain me, even though I love being around people. And I'm very gregarious. I'm very outgoing. When I say to people I'm introverted, they go, I don't believe you. But, you know, I really am. And I know that I refill by being on my own. And so I'm very proactive about doing those things to make sure that, you know, when I've been in those situations that do drain me, that I'm doing those things to refill so that I can be my best. And, you know, people might be an extrovert, they might be on the other end of the spectrum, but just being able to be self-aware, okay, what are those things that really take from me? And being aware of, have I been in a certain situation and I'm feeling drained after that, or that thing that really has taken a lot out of me. So being aware of those things so that you can maybe put an extra measure in place after that, and just making sure that you're not doing too many of those things in quick succession or in a day or in a week or whatever that looks like for you. So I think it's about being really self-aware and in tune with your own needs.
Yeah, that's interesting, because when I talk to parents about and teachers about, you know, sensory processing and how we need to put sensory buffers in, and I talk about, you know, making sure that you have extra input before like a stressful event or a busy time, and then making sure you have that replenishing time. So that's similar, isn't it, to making sure that we are aware of where those energy leaching times might be and preparing and also having recovery time.
Yeah, and I think so often, Deb, that people will go into sort of damage control afterwards rather than doing that proactive, those proactive measures beforehand. So, for example, we're recording this quite early this morning, and so I got up and I had some quiet meditation time, some journaling time. I exercised, I pumped up some really energizing music, because I know that those things are going to put me in my best space rather than just coming in and sort of being ho-hum, because I wanted to bring my best to you and to your listeners. So it's the same with our everyday as well, rather than just sort of going through the motions and then going, oh my goodness, at the end of the day, I feel like I've been hit by a bus. But what things can I do earlier in my day? What things can I put in place so that I'm not just feeling so drained by those things, but being more proactive in the front end rather than in the back end and doing damage control?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so self-care, I guess it's different for everybody. But are there, you know, some go-to ways that people can start, even if we're not sure of what we can do?
Yeah, definitely. There are a few different things that some different research has looked at when it comes to our happiness, our well-being, our self-care, that they all come and sort of really agree on. These few practices really help with our self-care, and it may look slightly different for different people, but definitely exercise and moving your body is something that is so important. And for me, the reason why I really got into happiness and well-being coaching and wellness coaching is because as a fitness instructor, I saw over the years, you know, people would want it to look a certain way. I have to come to the gym, I have to run on a treadmill, or I have to do that fitness class. And some people just don't enjoy that. And so they might not get filled. They might not, you know, have really been come alive through that. And then that reinforces, I'm a failure, I'm not good at exercising or working out. And, you know, really it's just that you haven't found that movement that makes you come alive. So for me, when I'm working with clients, I'm saying, what is that movement that lights you up? And that might be a bit of a self-discovery journey. That might be, you know, you go and try, I'm going to try rock climbing, tennis, dancing, mountain climbing, swimming, cycling. Like, there are so many ways to move our body. So I guess I just wanted to share that with you, that it's not just a one size fits all. So when I'm talking about exercise, I'm not just talking about get in the gym and flog yourself. If you hate that, that's not going to be very caring for yourself. That's not going to fill your cup. So actually find out, what is that thing that you love to do? What is that thing that draws you to actually want to move your body? So that's one thing. Definitely having some meditation and journaling, reflection time is really important. So that looks different for different people. I love to journal. I love to write. For me, it really is something very cathartic and therapeutic, just to get out my thoughts, and I really process that way. For other people, it may be some quiet meditation music and sitting in a certain position. Another key when it comes to our happiness and our well-being is gratitude. So really having that attitude of gratitude. So looking for the good, looking for things to be thankful for, rather than all the negative stuff that can overwhelm us, but being very proactive about looking for the good. And that could be just noting one thing in the morning and one thing in the evening, and you're going to be cultivating just that spirit of thankfulness, that attitude of gratitude. And it's like a muscle. It gets stronger the more you activate that. So that's just a couple of ideas of things that self-care that are universal for most people.
Absolutely. And here's just an example of, you know, how powerful that can be. So I've had it's my first week back, you know, working this year, and it's been very busy. And, you know, the first few days are always the hardest, I think, after, you know, having some time off.
Yes.
To one of my accountability mentors, and I said, like, I'm just a bit overwhelmed, you know, help me reframe things. And he suggested, you know, when he feels like this, he just says to himself, you know, and this is just gratitude, you know, I'm healthy, I'm not hungry, and I have a roof over my head. And as soon as he said that, it's like, oh, yeah, that's true.
So powerful.
And it was so powerful. And like my head was immediately cleared. And it's like, okay, so let's just get back to work.
Yeah, so powerful. Amazing. That's so great.
Yeah, because we can just get these mind blocks, can't we, where we just feel overwhelmed. And you know, we talk about this in our coaching as well. I'm sure you do too, about, you know, how when we're overwhelmed, like the limbic system just gets fireworks and it just gets overwhelmed, and then our frontal lobe just can't get a plan together.
Yeah, so it's about taking those moments to slow that. So when you feel like you're, it's almost like a runaway train, right, where you're just steaming along and everything just feels like, so that shallow breathing, that's what I say to my clients, you know, actually, are you breathing deeply? Are you actually breathing through your nose down deep into your lungs? You're just sort of taking those little shallow breaths. So if you feel like that's where you're at, you're just trying to keep your head above water, you know, those sorts of analogies, actually just taking a moment to put a stop to that, standing still, take a deep breath. Okay, what is something that I'm grateful for right in this moment? And you can do that many times. You can do that while standing in the line at the shops to buy your groceries. You can do that while you're cooking dinner. You can do that at so many different moments, but it's about actually catching yourself and going, hang on a second, I just need to pause and just reframe. Like you said, just take that deep breath and just really get some clear perspective, because this overwhelm and this feeling is not going to produce great results.
Absolutely. And I had a psychologist friend mention to me too, even just, you know, when you arrive somewhere, you know, it's waiting even just 20 seconds in the car and just stopping, you know, doing a couple of deep breaths and creating a little bit of space can make a massive difference.
Yeah, definitely. There's an amazing book called The Third Space. And I, at this moment, I cannot think of the author. It'll come to me the moment we finish recording this podcast. But The Third Space, and he talks exactly about that. He talks about going from where you have been to where you're going. And there's that moment in between, which is that third space, and about capturing that third space to make that transition from where you've been to where you're going. And, you know, really prime example is when you've gone from, you know, work in your day, and if you're going home to your family, that you have that moment where you recalibrate and you go, right, I'm leaving this, I'm leaving work, I'm leaving all the things from my day, the stresses, I'm going to leave that now, I'm going to step out of the car and I'm going to be present with my family. So looking for those little, he calls them micro transitions, so little micro transitions every single day, and there's many throughout our day where we go, right, I'm just going to leave that where I've been and I'm going to be fully present stepping into this next moment and what it needs of me.
I really, really like that. And I've had someone else explain that some of the transitions or the triggers just to remind us to do that, you know, could be, you know, putting the key in the front door when you get home, couldn't it?
Great. Yeah, exactly. Keys coming out of the ignition, keys in the front door, you're going and you're putting your name badge on for work or taking it off or whatever, you know, there's many things, but those small triggers, I love that. Amazing.
Yeah. What are some other triggers? Can we do a quick brainstorm about the times that might be helpful for parents? Because I think having the ideas is like, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. It can be things like, I think, coming out of the shower even. So for me, I guess now my daughter's a bit older, you know, when they're younger, they might not give me privacy in the shower, but, you know, getting ready in the morning. So, you know, I go in, get ready in the bathroom, do my hair, get dressed, all those sorts of things that I do. And then coming out, I'm going, right, you know, we're going into this for the day. Or so going from, I think work is a really prime example, you know, from going from work. So there's things like you said, key in the door. What other things have you got rolling around your brain, Deb, that you think would be a good trigger?
Yeah, well, for me, it's coming home, and I don't do it coming in the door, which I probably should start. But for me, it's, you know, putting my bag down and then just, you know, going to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sitting down the toilet and just having like 3 minutes.
Yes.
Just in the quiet.
Just to breathe. Yeah, totally understood. I know for my husband, something that's really powerful. I mean, I don't wear a uniform for work in the job that I do. I do get dressed in more work clothes to sort of make me feel like I'm in that role. But for him, he wears a uniform to work. And so for him to come home and take off his, he's a carpenter, so he takes off his very dusty and wood chip covered outfit from the day, and he leaves that in the laundry, and then he changes into something else. So it's that real transition from work to home for him. So that could be also something for others who have that similar sort of need.
Yeah. And for me, in the morning, in that transition to, you know, getting ready for work, I think, you know, putting on makeup, like even if I'm working from home, like today doing this podcast, putting on some makeup is like, oh, okay, I'm in the work role now.
Yeah, I did the same thing too. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then also, you know, I know for some of my friends, it's, you know, coming home and you're taking the bra off, or, you know, coming home and putting your PJs on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's different for everybody, but it's just trying to find something that really helps you to to look after yourself.
Yeah, and again, just being open to experimentation. I think so often I work with people and they're saying, well, I tried that, it didn't work. I said, well, great, so you've found one way that doesn't work. Let's try something else. So it's about not going that thing, whether it's something you read in a news article or, you know, read in a blog, this is the thing that you should do. If you try and it doesn't work for you, that's okay, because you're a unique individual who has different needs. You function in a different way. You were designed, you know, completely unique. So actually having fun with it and actually thinking, this is an adventure. I want to explore how I work, how I respond to different situations best. So not being afraid if something doesn't work to have a go and do something else.
Absolutely. Yes. Now let's talk quickly about your three gems for, I guess, being there for your kids. So we've talked initially about, you know, looking after ourselves, which is so important. So these three ideas for carving out and just, I guess, being there for your children. So the first one was, you know, carving out that regular time, one-on-one for your child or children, a regular date afternoon.
Yeah, this was a game changer for my daughter. So for me, in my background, Deb, I was a single mum for 10 years. And so I was doing that while studying uni, while also working two jobs. So it was pretty hectic and pretty intense. And my daughter really, I could see that she was really feeling that, and I didn't want her to feel like I didn't have enough time for her, even though our life was incredibly full and I was doing my absolute best to create a better future for us and provide for us. But I could see that she really was needing some mum time. And for her, it wasn't just good enough to sort of sit on the couch in the evening and watch TV or read a book. She really just needed something else. And so we started doing these date afternoons, and they have been a regular in our lives for the past 9 years, where every Tuesday afternoon we will go and have an hour, and it's completely up to her what she wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment she loves going to a coffee shop and we'll just have a milkshake and have a chat and, you know, just sort of what's going on. And she knows that she can rely on me for that time, that no matter whatever else is going on in our life, that she can rely that I will not compromise that for anything else. She can count on me to just be fully present in that moment, not running to the shops, not, you know, just sort of having conversations that we really sit down. And that has been an absolute game changer. We're incredibly close. And it also helps to keep mum guilt at bay, because even when life was a bit busy and she'd go, we don't have time, or I haven't seen you. And I'd say, no, we've got our time on Tuesday and we're going to have an amazing time, hang out for that. So it didn't mean we didn't have our time in amongst life, but it just meant this really intentional 1 hour where I could just be fully present with her and really just nurture that relationship.
Yeah, I love that. And sometimes we have, because I have two boys, so sometimes, you know, hubby and I, we split. And so we take one child each. And we have a budget, and, you know, we started off with like $5 each. So, you know, $10 to do something, which often included dinner, which is not much. And, you know, we do increase that a bit quickly because, you know, that's not really enough even for pizza these days.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got to be creative and we went to Woolies and got like a tub of ice cream or, you know, something.
Exactly.
It was fun.
Yeah, it doesn't have to cost a lot. It is just more that time. So, you know, going to the service station and getting a paddle pop for like I don't even know how much paddle pops cost anymore. I think I was going to say a dollar, but I don't think they're a dollar anymore. Oh, you know, so get just something, but you're creating that time. That's really intentional. And like I said, my daughter, she's now 15, but over the years that has looked different depending on what she wants to do. And she gets to choose, you know, within reason, obviously, but, you know, she gets to choose and it's her choice and she gets to decide to do something. And it's something to fill her cup, something that's really important for her. And I've noticed it make a huge difference for us and obviously for you guys too, which is awesome.
Yeah. No, it was really fun. Yeah.
Yeah, fun. Exactly. Yeah, we got to do that.
Yes, we do, because life can get so busy and then we can just go through ticking off the boxes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so another idea is doing little things that can make a big impact.
Yeah, so that's around again, I guess, that idea of just being really intentional in those small moments, and little deposits regularly over time will pay big dividends. And I see that now, you know, 15 years down the track into motherhood. So doing things like just writing a little lunchbox love note, and, you know, I would just do these sporadically, like maybe once a week or every 2 weeks or sometimes every 3 weeks, but just to catch her off guard, just hey, I love you, or hey, you're doing a great job, or have a great day. So whatever, you know, just on a post-it note, didn't have to be anything very fancy, but just something to let her know, hey, I'm thinking about you, hey, you matter to me, and I just want to encourage you. You know, having silly dancing discos in the lounge for no reason, you know, just going, right, we're just going to have a 10-minute dance break and crank up some crazy music and dance and be all silly just for, you know, no reason. So doing little things spontaneously just to change things up, just to sort of break the mundane. And, you know, my daughter now, just the other day, I came into my office and she'd written me a little love note and left it on my desk. And she does that regularly. And I think, oh, I get to reap the benefits of that, even though I started off with, you know, doing that for her. So those little things, you're just cultivating kindness, you're cultivating just that atmosphere of fun in your household. And they really do, those little moments have a big impact over time.
Yeah, I love that idea too. Yeah, and their love notes can be so beautiful. You know, at different ages, they have lovely ways of saying things. You just go, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You love me so much.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's pretty special being a parent, I think.
It is. It can be very challenging, but there's definitely those special moments. Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, as parents too, we can often get the parent guilt because we are so busy and, you know, trying to balance everything. So how can we, you know, we're often are drawn into, you know, buying stuff for kids. But, you know, is there a better way that we can give our children love, I guess, rather than, you know, buying the stuff?
Yeah, well, this has been just, I guess, my way of I've approached parenthood. And so my third gem is to invest in experiences rather than buying stuff or things. And so for my daughter, we have always, you know, done adventures. So whether that's going to theme parks or going to places like Australia Zoo or going on little short holidays, little weekends away, again, doesn't have to cost a lot, but really investing in experiences and creating moments rather than just the stuff. And especially for me as a single mom, I would often ask people if they wanted to give Katie a birthday present. I'd say, would you mind, this is something I want to take her to do, would you mind contributing or putting whatever you were going to spend on something, would you mind just contributing that money towards this experience that we can have? And then I'd take photos and share with them, and, you know, and that's given Katie such a sense of adventure, and she really appreciates just living, I think, rather than just having stuff. And that's something that I've found really powerful. And yeah, we've had so many memories created because we've been intentional with not just buying things, but actually going and having adventures and having incredible experiences together.
Yeah, and you do those experiences, they create memories which last much longer, don't they, than the toy.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And that's a lifetime, you know, that's a lifetime of memories that I know for Katie, she's going to have, you know, in her memory bank and go, oh, that was awesome. Rather than, like you said, that birthday present when she was five, like she's not going to remember that, but she will remember we went to SeaWorld for the day and she, you know, I remember giving her a dolphin experience, and that was a massive expense for me as a single mom, but I saved diligently over the year and I was like, I want her to have that incredible experience. And she has, and she, you know, doesn't have a lot of stuff, but we have incredible memories to look back on.
Yeah, I think kids and families are much richer for doing those kind of strategies. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much for your time. So I'm just going to quickly summarize those three gems. So the number one was carving out regular time. Second one was doing little things like the lunchbox love notes and doing silly spontaneous fun every so often. And number three was doing experiences rather than buying different stuff. So thank you so much for all your gems.
Thank you so much for having me, Deb. I've just loved having a chat to you.
Thank you. And how can people connect with you? And I think that you have a special freebie for people as well.
Yeah, so I would love to give your listeners a freebie. So it's just some encouragement, some ideas for doing those things that fill your cup, like we've been talking about, some happiness and well-being gems and keys that are really practical. So if you're stuck for ideas or you're just feeling like, I don't know what would be a really great framework, then I've got a blueprint that your listeners can grab by heading to www.thehealthyhappysoul.com/freebie. And so that's my business, The Healthy Happy Soul. So people can connect with me by heading to the website, which is thehealthyhappysoul.com, or they can also find me on social media on Facebook and on Instagram.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure to meet you, and we will chat again soon.
I would love to, Deb. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Stacey. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on the Live Skills for Kids podcast, providing you with superstar parenting tips and empowering you to be the rock in your child's life. Do you have an anxious child and feel overwhelmed and unsure how to help them? Check out my book, Teaching Kids to Manage Anxiety, Superstar Practical Strategies, to help your anxious child move from fear and worry to confidence and peace. See you next time.